Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Rocket Nation, welcome to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're back on air after a two-hour format for the first time in a long time, and I'm happy to be back. As you can see, a lot of things have changed. We got a new little format that we're doing here just to kind of check things out, to check the temperature, just to test things out a little bit, and so far so good. Again, this is something that I have been so excited to do for a long time, and I'm happy to be able to share this opportunity with all of you to do. I haven't really been on air much since the beginning of the year, really, since the NFL postseason was going down. I was doing 30-minute shows, 30-minute podcasts, and I was also with this network called Worldwide Core Radio, which I left just last month, just 1 month ago, actually. I actually terminated my own contract. I had about 2 more weeks left, but I just decided to end it because I didn't have sponsorships, and having to pay weekly was kind of hurting me a little bit. It was hurting my back pocket a little bit. So I decided to come back to Blog Talk. I set up the whole account thing again. I'm back to doing 2-hour shows now, and I am so happy about that. So this is it. This is the way it's going to be now. So thank you all. Thank you all for tuning in. We got a lot of ground to cover tonight. This is it. As of 24 hours ago, well, maybe a little bit more than 24 hours ago, the NFL free agency period has kicked off. And let me just say, a lot has already transpired. We've had players cut. We've had players traded. We've had players sign multi-year extensions, and other players move on to other teams. I don't even know where to begin. Let's just put it that way. It's so serious right now to where it's just constantly going, constantly going. All I can tell you is strap on your seatbelt, buckle up, because it's going to be a show. This is the real deal, okay? And we're going to get it going. We're going to get it going for these next 2 hours. We're on air till 9 p.m. Our call-in number is 347-327-9586. Again, we are on air until 9 p.m. tonight, and I am so happy about that. This is it. This is really, really, really it. And once again, we're just having fun. We're just having fun, and I'm happy to be back on air with you guys. So Rocket is back. He's not alone because he has you all here with him, and thank you for tuning in. So this is really beautiful. Going to get to the thick of things a little bit real quickly. As of the past few hours, I can't even catch up with what's going on with these news, with everything that's been transpiring. Let me just say this. One of the biggest news that broke down earlier today was former Dolphins offensive lineman Jonathan Martin being traded to the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to go to play for the coaching staff that he played for at the University of Stanford a few years ago before he was drafted by the Dolphins in 2012. Everybody knows about the whole bullying situation, everything that went down with him and former teammate and another former Dolphins linebacker, it seems like, Richie Incognito. And it was just kind of difficult. It was kind of a situation where a move needed to be made. And I was glad that this move was made. Because Jonathan Martin needed a new change of scenery. He needed that because you can just kind of tell everything that went down from October up until the week leading up to the Super Bowl. It was like these players, his teammates, it was like, okay, well, what's the big deal? It was like they were taking up more after Richie Incognito as opposed to Jonathan Martin. I'm thinking, oh, it's time for him to pack up and get up out of there. You know, time for him to go, okay? Definitely time for him to go. So now he's going to play for Jim Harbaugh, the former coach at the University of Stanford before he took over the 49ers head coaching position in 2011. So you would think that that would be kind of like not just an insurance thing, but something that needed to be done. And now he's going to have an opportunity to resurrect his career, I should say, because he wasn't going to go back and play for the Dolphins. Let's just be honest. That was not going to happen. And I also think that he was contemplating retirement. He was contemplating suicide. You hear about all these news that's going on with him. And, you know, kudos for him to be able to be traded, because this is something that doesn't always happen. So here goes to Jonathan Martin. It's a new beginning, a new atmosphere, a new team, bunch of new players, but same coaches he played for in college, so that's good. That's something that should help him out. And rest assured, I think he's going to revitalize his career and play better, and because he was always a good offensive lineman. And you're going to a 49ers team where you got a bunch of studs, you got a tough offensive front, you got a tough defense line, tough linebacking crew, tough running game, tough receivers, and a tough tight end, and a tough quarterback. To me, this was the perfect formula for him. And I think the 49ers really just got better. Not only that, they also brought back Anquan Boldin. They re-signed and restructured his deal, so he's staying put in San Francisco, so that's good. What more do you need to know? So that was one of the big news that broke down. Another big news that broke down for me locally was former Seahawks wide receiver Golden Tate has signed with the Lions. I am so happy that this went down. And I'm going to tell you why. Golden Tate is a very talented receiver. He's the type of receiver that can complement a guy like a Calvin Johnson type of receiver. He's the type of guy that can step up, make those clutch catches, catch those passes up the middle, make those slot receiver type of plays, and he can just go out there and just do it. You know, he's a very good complementary receiver. I didn't always look at him as a number one receiving option, but I think he's coming to the perfect system, the perfect scenario, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy that he came here, and this didn't take long, really. This was the first team he came to visit, much like Reggie Bush last year. He came and visited on a Tuesday night, actually on a Monday night, and by Tuesday morning, early Tuesday morning, he signed on the dotted line. First name, last name, welcome to Motown. So, sure enough, this is the same thing that broke down, and we needed this. We needed this signing because, you know, wide receivers was a top priority for this team, whether it's going to be in the free agency or whether it's going to be in the draft, whether it's going to be trying to trade for guys or just, you know, basically trying to re-sign the players that they have. They also did re-sign Joyke Bell to a 3-year contract extension, who was an unrestricted free agent. They also brought back Kevin Ogletree, who has shown that he can catch a little bit. He made a fantastic touchdown catch in that Thanksgiving Day victory, that beatdown against Green Bay last year. And that was one of the best touchdown catches I've seen from any player all season. So to bring back those guys, to bring back Joyke Bell, that was a big-time move. And I was so happy that that went down, because you needed that. You needed that. That had to go down. That had to be done. But with every acquisition, there's always a little bit of sacrifice, unfortunately. Now, Golden Tate's contract was $31 million for the next 5 years. I expect him to play up to that talent and that contract level. He's a good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He can make some plays. He did some things in the Super Bowl. He did some things for this team down the stretch last year. He's going to be missed by Seattle. And that being said, the Seahawks have got to find a way to keep Doug Baldwin, because you knew that they was going to lose either of the two, and they could very well end up losing both of them. So look at that as a top-notch consideration, because both Doug Baldwin and Golden Tate are very good, young, talented receivers. So with that being said, the Seahawks have got to find a way to keep Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin, bring him back whatever you have to do. This is something that they have to do. And I'm happy for the Lions making this move and making some of the other moves that they've made. Over the weekend, former owner, William Clay Ford, had passed away due to complications from pneumonia. He was 88 years old. This guy, say what you want about him, you know, say what you want about a 50-year dreadful period, but he did some phenomenal things with this organization. And I think we need to take more time to acknowledge that as opposed to some of the bad things he's done. According to Forbes magazine, this guy was the 371st richest person in the United States as of last year, with an approximate net worth of $1.4 billion. Boy, that's a lot of freaking money. I mean, my goodness. He actually reportedly owned $6.7 million shares of Class B stock and 26.3 million common shares. I mean, he was just the largest single shareholder in the Ford Motor Company, the last surviving grandson of the great Henry Ford. I mean, the Ford family legacy has lasted, I mean, I can't begin to tell you how long it's been, but it's been long. Like, it's been really, really, really long. In 1963, he purchased a controlling interest in Alliance from the previous owners, Edwin Anderson and Lyle Fife, for $4.5 million. He was also the chairman of the short-lived Detroit Cougars professional soccer team that played in the USA and the NASL leagues. He's a former graduate from Yale University in 1949, receiving a degree in Bachelor of Science in Economics, and was a member of the Psi Celine fraternity. What can you say? He was born in Detroit. He died in Grosse Pointe, died at the age of 88. He was just a good guy to me. Now, the knock on him was bringing in Matt Millen in 2001, and I think that set the franchise back another 5 to 10 years. And it kind of did, because 3 years after Ford finally wised up and fired Matt Millen during the 2008 season, which led to be an 0-16 campaign, they make the playoffs in 2011. So you have to believe that this is something that set back the franchise back quite a bit. And it kind of did. It kind of did. Now, the question is, what's going to happen with this team as far as, are they going to get to being a winning franchise, or what are they going to do? So that right there is something that you take consideration and you need to think about. They hired Jim Caldwell as the new head coach during the postseason. They got some new guys. They got some new assistant coaches. They had to cut the likes of Nate Burleson and Louis Delmas, who is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. But sometimes, again, like I said, you have to sacrifice certain players in order to get better, in order to get under the salary cap and make some moves to bolster your roster and to, you know, keep yourself financially safe. That being said, the Ndamukong Suh contract negotiation is still being worked on. It still needs to be worked on so they can save themselves some cap space. Suh's contract has been one of the big things that's been talked about, but despite that, that hasn't stopped him from making some moves and going after guys like Golden Tate in free agency. Now, I don't expect this team to make a whole lot of moves right now, but this is a big step going in the right direction, because you knew that they were going to go after a wide receiver or two during the free agency period. But there's going to be more free agents out there. And again, this draft is going to be a highly anticipated draft. There's going to be some big name players from college that are going to be, you know, taken and going to do some things for whichever team that they get drafted by. As far as the wide receiver position is concerned, you got Mike Evans, wide receiver from Texas A&M. You got Sammy Watkins, you know, just name a couple. Those two guys are, you know, the two biggest wide receiver names available on the draft stock right now. So that's big news for teams that are looking to be taking wide receivers, because last year that wasn't really the case. There wasn't a lot of wide receivers available last year. So this is big news. You got a lot of quarterbacks, so now it's back to being more of an offensive juggernaut as far as players that are going to be taken. And again, this is big news. This is a big deal for players that are looking to establish themselves, and other players that are looking to make moves and just move on and, you know, make a name for himself elsewhere, because they probably weren't going to get that type of money from the team they previously played for. Now, they can go to another team, get the money that they want, get the contract that they want, and even go to a team that they feel can contend for a championship. Think about that. Aqib Talib is the prime example. And the reason why I say that is he was not going to get the money that the Patriots had to offer. He did not want what the Patriots had to offer. So because of that, he is now with the Denver Broncos. And there were talks that the Patriots were going to either release him or not attempt to re-sign the guy during the free agency period. And that showed. And we see this happen in the past with the Patriots. They've been a team that they will sacrifice some players. Meaning they will either cut a player, they traded Randy Moss, so that tells you everything right there. They didn't attempt to re-sign Wes Welker. They let him go after re-signing him to a one-year deal. I mean, they traded Richard Seymour. They let guys like Willie McGinnis go over the years. I mean, they've let some valuable pieces go within the last 10 or 15 years, only to try to get better by investing in the draft, which is something that they've done successfully well. This is a team that they can go into the draft and just stop and load up and invest tremendously. That's what made the Patriots the Patriots. It's part of their Patriot way law, if you want to call it. And I think that you can kind of see that they were going to make these moves and that it wasn't going to stop them from still trying to contend and still trying to get over and still trying to be that team to, you know what I mean, to get over the hump still and to still be contending for Super Bowl. That's something that you take into consideration. That's something that you think about gratefully and you say, okay, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. So that's the beauty of it. That's the whole beauty of making moves with these players, and, you know, it's something that the Patriots have done. That's what they have done. Talib's contract with the Broncos, though, is just a humongous contract. He signed a six-year, $57 million contract, $26 million guaranteed with Denver. The Broncos also went out and got T.J. Ward, former safety from the Cleveland Browns, and right now they look to be the front runner to bringing in DeMarcus Ware of the Cowboys, another guy that was cut by the team because he refused to take a pay cut. He wasn't going to accept what the Cowboys were going to give him, so it was time to move on. Longtime wide receiver Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers has also been cut. That's a possibility he could reunite with John Fox in Denver. Think about that. I'm a Broncos fan, by the way. I'm a Lions and Broncos fan. I've been a Broncos fan gratefully over the years. And I can see possibly Steve Smith maybe coming to Denver. I don't know if he's going to be a top guy, but he could come in, bring in that veteran presence, bring in some leadership, and get these younger guys to play better, the likes of Demaryius Thomas, the likes of Julius Thomas, you know, the likes of Eric Decker. Assuming Eric Decker stays, which, you know, you have to wonder, is that going to happen? Because you're not sure if that's going to happen or not. So that's something to be on the lookout for. And these moves are being made, and it's just being updated constantly. So that's what you love. This is what you love about the NFL. This is what you love during this time of year. Like I said, just because the games are over don't mean diddly. This is still an exciting time. And as a fan, you have to love just moves that are being made. Just moves that are being made constantly. Constantly, constantly, constantly. And again, this is just going to be updated just ridiculously. It's ridiculously insane how all this is going to be updated. So the Broncos got their quarterback because they ended up releasing longtime cornerback standout, Champ Bailey, who's been in the league for 15 years now, was drafted by the Redskins in 99, traded to the Broncos just a few years later, became a more household cornerback. And to me, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I put him up there with the likes of Adel Green and Aeneas Williams, one of the greatest corners, and certainly one of the better corners we've seen in this generation, and even in the previous generation since the new millennium started in 2000. Basically, after Deion Sanders' departure, where he was no longer an elite guy, Champ Bailey stepped in and became that guy. So I'm happy that he's going to move on and maybe go somewhere else or maybe even call it quits. So, well, we're getting into the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're approaching the 7:30 period. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. And I mean a whole lot more to talk about. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is here with you. We're on air till 9 p.m. We're going to take a quick break, our first break of the evening. And we got more to talk about, the free agency period. Players that are leaving teams, players that are still staying put with some teams that they previously were, and other team players that are moving on. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is 7:30. Rocket is here with you. We are on air till 9 p.m. And let me just say, this is how I know that NFL news has just been buzzing, because I didn't even know that this happened. This is actually breaking news. It's official. DeMarcus Ware is now a Denver Bronco. This news actually broke down about an hour ago. The Broncos are just bringing in these defensive players. They're focusing the free agent on defense because, let's be honest, that kind of was their Achilles heel last year, particularly against the pass. They agreed to a 3-year, $30 million deal with DeMarcus Ware, and he was happy to sign that contract. He feels the Broncos are trying to make a statement that they're going to be a team to really be reckoned with. Even what they did last year, particularly on offense, mainly on offense, I expect this team to even be better on defense now. So the time is now. Now, just to give you a quick background, DeMarcus Ware was let go yesterday, by the Cowboys in a salary cap move. He had a franchise record, 117 sacks for the Cowboys since being drafted in the first round in 2005. He had a career low 6 last season, but he went through a lot of injuries last year, and I think that's part of the reason why the Cowboys' defense was so horrendous. The game against Detroit, where they gave up over 600 yards, DeMarcus Ware did not play in that game. I don't think he played against the Saints either. That's another game that they surrendered over 600 total yards. He missed a lot of games for the first time in his career because of a thigh injury, and he underwent off-season surgery to fix his elbow. He's 31. He'll be 32 before this year is over. He will play opposite side Von Miller, who's coming back and rehabbing from a torn ACL injury he suffered back in December during the regular season, which caused him to miss the rest of the year. So we never really got a chance to see the Broncos' full potential on defense. Some of the other players like Mike Adams, safety, was banged up. Champ Bailey coming of age. Sean Phillips probably a little bit banged up. So we never really saw this defense at their full potential. We're going to see the defense at their full potential next year. Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, he's a very good, hard-hitting, playmaking safety, very underrated during his time with the Cleveland Browns. This defense is going to get better. And now that they retain defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio, he's going to have some enticing players to work with. This is going to be beautiful for him. And I think this Broncos defense is going to be even better. So if I'm Kansas City, if I'm San Diego, even outside of that division and the rest of the AFC competition, if I'm New England, if I'm Cincinnati, the Pittsburghs of the world, I'm worried. Indianapolis, I'm worried. I'm worried. I am seriously worried, because these guys are going to come in and they're going to help out tremendously. Think about it. I mean, the Broncos are just making some moves. However, if they do lose Eric Decker, that would be a serious blow to their offense. That being said, last we heard, Eric Decker is visiting the Jets, and that's kind of interesting. That's very interesting. Why would Eric Decker want to go to the Jets after being in the Super Bowl with the Broncos? That's a question that a lot of people might be wondering. Why not stay in Denver? I would, you know, if I was him. But, you know, sometimes you just got to go with your gut and do what you feel is best for yourself, your family, everybody in your circle, whatever you want to do. If you want that money, if you want to win, there's always a lot to be said about players making these moves. So that's something that you have to think about. But DeMarcus Ware, he's now a Bronco. Good for him. Congratulations. Didn't take him very long to find a new team, and we kind of saw this coming because the Broncos were the front runner to land him anyway. So there you have it. There you have it. And I'm happy for him, because now he's really going to get a chance to win and compete for Super Bowls. It wasn't going to happen for him in Dallas. It just wasn't going to happen. We also have some players that have stayed put. Michael Bennett, everybody talked about him possibly leaving, going to another team. He's elected to stay put in Seattle, even though he went on record by saying he wasn't going to settle for a pay cut, but he's staying put in Seattle. He's one of maybe a few players the Seahawks have retained, because they are losing some guys. It's kind of like the Ravens last year. You win a Super Bowl and you lose the majority of your players during the offseason because you can't afford to re-sign them, or they get more enticing options from other teams as soon as the free agency market hits. Jacoby Jones, speaking of the Ravens, he is staying put in Baltimore. He signed a 4-year contract to stay with the team, and good for him, because I don't look at Jacoby Jones as a big-time wide receiver threat. I just don't look at him that way. So I feel like he's perfect for the Ravens, seriously. And I don't think he was going to attract that much during the free agency market anyway, because there was no teams, as far as I knew about, that was interested in his services. The deal is worth $14 million. Yeah, $14 million for a 5-year seat. That tells you something right there. Like, yeah, some teams would have offered him less money. Now, he was actually meeting with the Giants just a couple days ago. Well, actually today and yesterday. That was the only team that he visited, the only team I guess he planned to visit. And he's staying put. So good for them. Maybe the Ravens will get their offense together next year. Torrey Smith, Dennis Pitta, Ray Rice, assuming Ray Rice is even with the team next year with his off-the-field issues. You don't want to see if something happens with Ray Rice, look at it this way. He won't be the first running back in NFL history that ended up doing jail time for beating up either a wife, a girlfriend, a female significant other. We've seen this happen before. I'm just going to put that out there. We've seen it happen with Lawrence Phillips, who's still in jail right now, by the way. He ain't getting out for a long time, so think about that. Ray Rice does not want to end up that way, I can tell you right now. So Jacoby Jones is staying put in Baltimore. Speaking with the AFC North, the Browns have parted ways with Brandon Whedon just 2 seasons after drafting him in the first round. To me, this wasn't a surprise. I don't think he was the guy. I don't think he was the guy that was going to get it done. When he played last year, his play, you just looked at him like, he's not the guy. I just don't think it's him. I felt like Brent Boyer was a better option at quarterback, and that's saying a lot because prior to last year, I didn't even know who Brent Boyer was. So that says something right there. But it's been reported that the Browns are going to cut Whedon. He's been let go. He didn't do much these 2 years he's been in the league. And he had just 20 starts for the team. So, you know, injuries had a lot to do with his lack of productivity. He's thrown 23 touchdowns to 26 interceptions with just a 71.8 passer rating. Not very good numbers if you're trying to win. And if you can't get it done in Cleveland, then maybe you do need a new change of scenery, because it just seems like the Browns have been looking for a quarterback for years, and they're going to go into this draft looking for another quarterback. It started when they came back into the NFL in 1999, drafting Tim Couch out of Kentucky with the first overall pick. And to me, to Tim Couch's defense, he had no talent. He had no talent to work with. He didn't have great coaching. He didn't have any running backs. He didn't have any receivers, no tight ends, no offensive line. He had nobody to work with. And I think that was a problem. I think that was a serious problem. I think that's what kept Tim Couch from achieving NFL professional success. So that was an issue. Brady Quinn, Colt McCoy, even other guys like Derek Anderson, who led Cleveland to their most wins in 2007. They went 10-6, and he was a big part of that. They didn't make the playoffs that year, but that's the most wins the Cleveland Browns have had since coming back to the NFL in 1999. Kelly Holcomb took the Browns to the playoffs in just their only playoff appearance since coming back that year. He took them to the playoffs in 2002, and he ended up getting the starting job over Tim Couch. Tim Couch ended up being let go. And, you know, his departure from the NFL was not good because, you know, he was beat up. I remember him having a brief stint tryout with Green Bay to be Brett Favre's backup. That didn't work out. He ended up being let go during training camp. He was just signed to be a practice guy, and he never really jumped another level after that. And that was an issue. So the Browns, it looks like they're going to be looking for another quarterback. So Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, just to name a few. They're going to have some, they might have some enticing options. We'll see what happens. I'm just looking forward to seeing who's going to be taken this year. Who's going to be taken by who? That's going to be big. So, speaking of quarterbacks, it doesn't look like Matt Schaub is going to be leaving the Houston Texans. That's going to piss off some fans, meaning they're going to be driving by his house a whole lot more often now. It seems like the Texans are in no hurry to either cut the quarterback or even trade him. It doesn't look like they're going to do that. Now, the Texans are going to have the number one overall pick. They could take a quarterback if they want to. Think about that. I think what's probably going to happen is they might end up keeping Matt Schaub. They might go defense in this draft. Meaning they could take Jadeveon Clowney. They could take somebody like a quarterback. Because they could use some help in the secondary, too. I honestly feel that way. Somebody like, you know, Darquez Denard, he could be a number one overall pick. You never know. You never know. Somebody like him or, you know, or anybody, really. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what the Texans are going to do. Are they going to keep that number one pick? Are they going to trade, maybe trade down? That's something that remains to be seen. They've never traded down number one overall picks before. They've taken guys with number one overall picks like a David Carr, Mario Williams. Mario Williams panned out with the team, but he's no longer with the team. So that's the problem. David Carr was just a flat-out bust. His situation was kind of like Tim Couch's. He didn't have a whole lot of talent, but when he did, he couldn't do anything with it. And I think that he was just a flat-out bust, period. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do with the new coaching staff. And at 32 years old, is he going to be the guy still in the long term? Is he going to be the guy? So, I don't know. I really have no idea. I really have no idea. So that remains to be seen. I talked about the Seahawks losing players. Some of their players moving on to other teams, like the likes of Golden Tate. I did say that they was able to keep Michael Bennett, and it looks like they also have kept another valuable player, Tony McDaniel. Their defensive tackle is staying put. The 9-year defensive veteran is staying put for another 2 years with a maximum value of $6.3 million, according to NFL media insider Ian Rappaport. Last year, he started in 15 games, played 536 snaps for a defense that labeled him and employed him as an early down run stopper. He piled up 53 tackles and 2 sacks, so looks like he's going to see more playing time along with fellow tackle Brandon Mabane in their base defense. He's 6'7", 305 pounds. He was a target for the Dallas Cowboys, but it looks like he is staying put in Seattle. This guy spent a lot of time in Jacksonville and Miami, suffered a lot of losing seasons, and he finally got his big break. So he's staying put. Good for him. Because the Seahawks really can't afford to lose any more players at this rate. They got to try and bring back as many players as they can, because they are going to lose some guys, and they're probably going to lose some more guys too. We have more quarterback news. See, this is just groundbreaking, man. This is just continuous. It just keeps going. Josh McCown, who everybody, including yours truly, anticipated was going to leave Chicago because of Jay Cutler's ridiculous contract, that I got to say, he does not deserve that much money. That's ridiculous that the Bears gave him that much money after what Josh McCown did for them last year. Wow, talk about an ultimate slap in the face. Now, I know Josh McCown has bounced around a few teams. He, he spent some time in Arizona, spent some time in Detroit, spent some time in Oakland. But last year was his best play. It was the best he had ever played in his career. And you turn around and respond by giving Jay Cutler all that money and not bringing or even thinking about bringing back Josh McCown. Ultimate slap in the face. So now he's moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's going to play for Lovie Smith, the former Chicago Bears head coach, who did not coach last year. He spent last year on the sidelines on the couch maybe with his family. The Bears hired Mark Trestman. They moved on from Lovie Smith, and Lovie Smith is now back in Tampa Bay, team where he really got his first big-time coaching job with as an assistant in 1996 to Tony Dungy, and you knew that he was probably going to take this job because this is the job he wanted. Lovie Smith is a defensive-minded guy, and he feels like the Buccaneers' defense can get back to respectability as it once was. They won a Super Bowl with powerhouse defense, so maybe he can be the guy to get them over the hump to do what Raheem Morris and Greg Schiano could not do. So, they got a quarterback. I don't know if Mike Glennon is going to be the guy. Maybe they're going to see some quarterback controversy, some jumpstart competition. Maybe. It's possible. I also feel that the Buccaneers are going to be in a world of trouble anyway, because of the whole Darrell Revis situation. It looks like, from what I've been told, they are going to cut him. And it looks like they have already cut him. And this news actually just broke down not too long ago, about a half hour ago, actually, at the top of the show. According to Yahoo.com, the Buccaneers have leased him after being traded there from the Jets last year with that ridiculous contract, $16 million. But the problem was the Buccaneers were going to part ways with him because they couldn't find any trade value for the guy. And by cutting him, the Buccaneers saved themselves $1.5 million. You might not think that's a lot of money, but that's still saving yourself some cap space to where you can invest in the draft or in other players that you might think about wanting to bring in or something of the matter. They would have continued to pay him that money if he was still on the roster. It's also freed additional space under the salary cap, which the team intends to use to try to improve a roster that has some weaknesses. And they're trying to build. They are trying to build now. And look at it this way. If he had stayed on Tampa Bay's roster by 4 p.m. today, he would have been due that bonus and the 2004 pick that the Buccaneers sent to the Jets, which would have been a third rounder. How crazy is that? Now, he played in all 16 games last year. He might not have finished all 16 games last year, but this is a guy that came off on ACL, got a ridiculous six-year, $96 million contract. He was not 100% physically, as we saw at times with him last year, but he did play. He was selected to play in the Pro Bowl last year. He had two interceptions, a sack, and a forced fumble, and the Buccaneers are just elected to cut him. And this is a move that eventually it's going to come back to help them out a little bit. First of all, that $96 million contract, though, for any player in the NFL, not named a quarterback, is monstrous. It's absolutely monstrous. So now, where do you think Darrell Revis is going to end up? The talk is the Patriots. Bill Belichick has great profound respect for Darrell Revis and his play. And now that they don't have Tlaib anymore, they should seriously consider offering him a contract. And I think Darrell Revis want to come to the Patriots to win a Super Bowl, or to at least have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl, because down the stretch, it wasn't going to happen with the Jets, and certainly didn't happen with Tampa Bay last year. So maybe, maybe that's something that they might want to do. Maybe that's something that they should do. Mike Neal is staying put with the Green Bay Packers, and these are just updated news that should continue to break down. He's staying put in Green Bay for another couple years. He's 27 years of age. Last year, in the final seven games for the Packers, he had 4 sacks, so he was emerging as an upcomer, and he's staying put for another 2 more years. And the Packers, they're trying to make as many moves as they possibly can. So this is something that you felt was going to be made. This is something that you felt that the Packers needed to do. And any moves that they make is a good move for them at this rate, because they've been so beat up down the stretch last year to where you wonder, is the window starting to close on this team a little bit? Just a little something to think about. Just a little something to think about. All right. Everybody talked about the Saints with the big move that they made, with big-time free agency pickup. Basically, what they did was they just went out and made a big move on the defense. And it was something that they had to do. It was something that they felt like they needed to do, because this is a team that's trying to get some respectability on the defense. Let's look at it that way. Now, they had already lost one of their valuable players as far as their defense was concerned. And I think that they needed something to jumpstart on their defense. After losing Jarius Bird, their safety, to the New Orleans Saints, they went out and tried to fill that gap a little bit. They signed cornerback Corey Graham to a 4-year contract worth up to $20 million, according to Ian Rappaport once again. Graham was basically widely known as a special teams player, but he has played well at times when he was lining up as a corner. And this is a move that is a plus. It's a plus for the Bills. Anytime you bring in players, it's always a plus. Okay. They also signed guard Chris Williams on Wednesday, giving him a big-time contract. And, you know, this is something that they felt like they needed to do. So, congrats to them for making that move. And, you know, it's a move. A move is a move. Going back to the Jarius Bird situation, this is news that actually broke down on Monday. Jarius Bird flew out to New Orleans and got back on the plane as an official member of the New Orleans Saints. And it was a big-time contract that they offered him, and he gladly took it, as you would expect some players to take when you get that kind of money offered to you. It's a 6-year contract worth a maximum of $54 million, $28 million of those guaranteed, according to ESPN. This deal came off the heels of former Saints now. Well, now he's a former Saints, Malcolm Jenkins, who has moved on to Philadelphia. He signed a 3-year contract as of yesterday. Jarius Bird is a 3-time Pro Bowler. He was introduced to the team at a press conference today. And this is a big move because the Saints have already lost enough players as it is. They got Jimmy Graham labeled under the franchise tag, which you know he's not uncomfortable with that. So they're trying to work that out. And because of that, they had to cut some players, including wide receiver Lance Moore. And it looks like running back Darren Sproles, unfortunately, very unfortunately. Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're going to take a quick break. It's 8 o'clock. We got one more hour. If you want to call in, it's 347-327-9586. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more of the Saints moves, and we're going to provide more updates because it's going to be continuous. You got to love it. Rocket is loving it right now. Definitely. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And if you want to call in, please feel free to call in. We got one more hour, and we're going to go out tonight on a good note. So this is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is 8 o'clock. We have one more hour left of airtime, and Rocket is happy to be here with y'all. The 2 hour format show for the first time in a long time, maybe since last summer on Blog Talk. I did a few 2 hour shows on Worldwide Core for a while until I went back to an hour format. I miss those guys. I hope everything's all right with them over there. I hope they're listening. If not, you know, we're all going to be networking together in some form or fashion once again sooner or later. Rocket will be back one of these days, definitely. Getting back to the New Orleans Saints real quick. Before we took our second break, we talked about the move that they made signing Jarius Byrd, the safety over from Buffalo, cutting wide receiver Lance Moore. The Saints have been pretty busy. They also lost Malcolm Jenkins to Philadelphia. That was a big loss for them on their defense because he was a viable player. But with that being said, again, this is a business, and sometimes you're going to lose some guys. Sometimes you're going to have to be forced to sacrifice some players. That's just the way it is, you know. And we always talk about what's going to happen and what they're going to do and what their moves are going to be made, because again, I think that this team, they're trying to do what they can to retain Jimmy Graham, because you don't want to lose him. I mean, if you have to part with the Lance Moore, if you have to part with a Darren Sproles, so be it. But you don't lose Jimmy Graham. He's the best tight end right now in the game. And losing him takes a big piece out of your offense. One thing that the Saints have had better success over the years was the play of the tight end. Even when they went, even their Super Bowl season in 2009, they had Jeremy Shockey that season, and he was a big contributor for them down the stretch, providing veteran leadership and making plays and catching touchdowns when he did. And now you got Jimmy Graham, who's capable of doing those things, although he's had some games last year where he didn't show up, the game against New England, where Aqib Talib was just all over him. He did not record a catch in that game, struggling against Seattle, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. You know, but you can't take away what this guy is capable of doing. He is the best tight end in the game. To me, he's the tight end version of Calvin Johnson. He's big, he's tall, he can catch, he can run, and he can make plays for you, and he can help you win. And if you're Drew Brees, the window is closing on you to win one more Super Bowl or to at least compete for another one. You've got to find a way to get this contract situation done, because you don't want to lose him to anybody. And this is why you slap the franchise tag on these players, because, let's be honest, you don't want to lose them. They could get another enticing option from somebody else, get a big-time offer, and move on, and leave you hanging. And this has happened numerous times, not just in any NFL, but in sports, period. So that's something that you have to take into consideration. That's something that you have to think about. And I think that By doing so, the Saints are in a position to where they're going to try and do some things. Now, they actually managed to retain longtime running back Pierre Thomas on a 2-year extension. Pierre Thomas led all NFL backs with 77 catches last year, so he's also a big part of their offense in pass catching and even in running the football. He played in all 16 regular season games last year, started 9 of them, and led the club in rushing with 549 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he is a big-time, viable part of your offense. And by keeping him, that's good news, because you don't lose the guy. You're able to keep some of your weapons, you know. At least for another couple more years. That being said, they got to find a way to get that Jimmy Graham contract situation taken care of by any means necessary. Now, it looks like that they're planning to shop Aaron Strode, as far as I know. You have to wonder what's going to happen with Darren Sproles as far as his status and what's going to happen with the future of him. Because at first it looked like that they were just planning to cut him. Now it looks like they're trying to trade him, and he didn't even know about it right away until Twitter. So basically, he found out on Twitter that they were planning to trade him. How about that? Yeah, you gotta love Twitter. You gotta love Twitter. So, as of right now, it looks like the Saints are planning to shop him, which is a big blow because he's such a viable part of their team. But he wants to be released. And according to the NFL Network, the Vikings are a potential front runner for Darren Sproles' services. And that would be big because he would provide a good backup role to Adrian Peterson for a team that likes to run the ball. But they got to get that quarterback situation figured out. Whether they attempt to sign Darren Sproles or they attempt to trade for him, whether they land him, they got to figure out who the quarterback situation is. They got to figure out who's going to be the guy taking snaps under center. And I think that's something that they have to think about before they, if they're seriously going to bring in a Darren Sproles. Because any team that Darren Sproles ever played with, he played with a good, solid quarterback. Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. Again, these guys are quarterbacks. They've established themselves well in the NFL. And I'm not so sure if Darren Sproles would feel comfortable going to a team that really doesn't have a good quarterback and is a mess on the quarterback spot on the roster. So that remains to be seen. Getting back to more news in the NFL, like I said, the Seahawks are in a position to end up like the Ravens last year, losing a boatload of their players, and it looks like they just lost another one. Defensive lineman, defensive end, I should say, Chris Clemens, looks like he's moving on to Jacksonville. He's going to reunite with Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, who is the former Seahawks defensive coordinator. The Seahawks cut him as of today, and he immediately flew to Jacksonville to visit the team, and it looks like going to have a contract with the team. Last year, he kind of fell off the map a little bit because he was beat up, had a lack of productivity. But before last year, he was a flat-out stud. Just an absolute flat-out stud. The 3 years prior to last season, he had 33.5 sacks in those three seasons combined. And at 32 years old, he is now on the move. And it's interesting and kind of ironic because now he's going to be joining another teammate of his who played in Seattle, Red Bryant, who also has signed with Jacksonville when the free agency period broke out and officially started. So Clemens, to his defense, he's pretty familiar with Gus Bradley's defense. And to me, any acquisition, any signing to Jacksonville is an automatic upgrade. Let's just put it that way. They need all the help they can get. And this is a good step in the right direction because now they got that veteran presence in the locker room, which is something that they've been lacking. No disrespect to Maurice Jones-Drew, but Maurice Jones-Drew can't do everything. He can't be necessarily a veteran leader on the defensive side of the ball because he's not a defensive player. So that being said, they need some veteran presence on that side of the ball, and this is a good move for them. It's a good move. like I said, any move that the Jaguars make, any players that they bring in, it's a big move. It's a real big move. So take that into consideration and take that for what it's worth, because it's a big move. It's a big, big move. It's just been so much that it's just been breaking down. I can't even begin to tell you what has been going on. Because it's just continuously updated, continuous. And I knew that this was coming. This is what I love. Getting a chance to talk about these things, because you don't know who's going to switch jerseys until later on, in the evening, the next day, overnight. It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. And I think that these are moves that you look at and you say, yep, this is what's happening. I talked about the Browns releasing Brandon Weeden. They also cut Jason Campbell. Jason Campbell got cut 30 minutes after Brandon Weeden did. Their quarterback situation has never sprung faster. I just don't understand. Like I said, it seems like every year the Cleveland Browns are always looking for a quarterback. So now what are they going to do? Are they going to draft a quarterback? Because it looks like they most likely will. They're going to have to. You cut two quarterbacks in the same offseason, 30 minutes apart. What are you going to do now? Jason Campbell's situation was, he was 1-7 as a starter last year. And it's funny because they cut two quarterbacks, and yet they went out and made some moves on the defensive side of the ball. They signed Dante Whitner away from San Francisco. They signed Carlos Dansby away from Arizona, and they signed cornerback Isaiah Trufant. And it's just ridiculous. The Cleveland Browns, since coming back into the NFL in 1999, have had 20 starting quarterbacks. That's got to be the most in the NFL. I think maybe, and I'm only going to say maybe, I think the Bears and the Lions are the only two teams that have come close to that number as far as the most starting quarterbacks in the last 15 years. I mean, my goodness. The Browns have just been slipping into mediocrity. They've only had two winning seasons, one playoff appearance since 1999. Lots of different head coaches, lots of different starting quarterbacks, and a fan base that has had it up to here. I mean, they are just absolutely beside themselves, and they should be. And I blame owner Jimmy Haslam. The firing of their head coach after one season, to me, I can understand why Cleveland Browns fans feel the way they feel. And they have a right to feel the way they feel, because it's ridiculous. It's insane. It's stupid. But what do I know? I'm not in that Cleveland Browns office. I'm not in that Cleveland Browns locker room. I only know by what's been put out there. And numbers don't lie. 20 quarterbacks, 20 starting quarterbacks since 1999. Wow. The Indianapolis Colts from 1999 to 2011 had one starting quarterback. One. And we all know who that was. Un-freaking believable. I mean, can you... 20 starting quarterbacks in a 15-year span. My God. And you could almost say that none of those guys really panned out, because they weren't necessarily long-term starters. They might have started for 1 year or two, and they were let go. Either they were traded, they were cut, or they were demoted. Wow. Well, at least the Browns went out and made moves on the defensive side of the ball. That defense has gotten some respectability these past 2 years. I expect that defense to be even better with the acquisitions of these players. Because Dante Whitner is a hard-hitting safety. He's one of the hardest-hitting safeties in the league. Carlos Dansby is a very good linebacker. He's been a big plus for the Cardinals' defensive success the last 2 years, well, mainly last year, because of what they were able to do. And Isaiah Trufant is a cornerback that, who knows, we could see him play better in the defensive scheme, whatever defensive scheme that the Browns run. But they have got to figure out the quarterback situation. And you kind of look at it like, you don't care who they bring over on the defensive side of the ball. They've got to figure out the quarterback play, because nowadays, the quarterback play is such a big deal. The quarterback play really determines winning a championship. As good as the Seahawks defense was, they weren't going to win that Super Bowl if Russell Wilson didn't make the plays that he made down the stretch. If Russell Wilson didn't do the things that he did. They weren't going to win that Super Bowl if he was going to be making mistakes constantly. It just wasn't going to happen. You've got to have good quarterback play. It's just got to happen. A defense can only do so much. The quarterback is the guy that's got to get you over the hump. Bottom line. That's just the way it is. So, good luck to any quarterback that goes to the Browns in the future. Especially any quarterback that gets drafted by them. Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel. Good luck. Seriously, good luck. Because I hate to be in that situation. I don't think I would want to be in that situation. That's just, wow. Wow. I don't know what to think, man. I don't know what to think. It just seems like it's the same story with the Cleveland Browns every single year. Pretty soon you're going to get tired of it. You laugh because it's hysterical, but you know, it's like, what now, man? What's going on here? My God. Oh, man. Well, it is what it is. And like I said, good luck. Good luck. Good luck. We already talked about this a little bit earlier. I talked about the possibility of Steve Smith moving on to a team like Denver. Steve Smith has officially been let go by the Carolina Panthers. Both parties have decided to part ways as of today. According to the Charlotte Observer, the team wanted to turn over the locker room to its young stars. And so, after being able to retain their defensive lineman stud, Greg Hardy, it looks like that they have decided to part ways with some of their veteran players. Steve Smith is a guy that was drafted back in 2001. At that time, he was known as a special teams threat. Worked his way into the offense, became a wide receiver sensation. I would say from 2003 to 2008, he was one of the top five receivers in the game. He was up there with Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, Randy Moss. I mean, he was doing things. And I look back on the 2005 campaign that he had. He was one of the better receivers that season. And this is a guy that was drafted to be a special teams return man. Think about that. And he broke into the scene. He broke into the scene real quickly. I go back to 2001 season where the Panthers won just one game, which is the first game of the season. The first game, the first play from scrimmage, he returned it for a touchdown to beat the Vikings on the road that year. They didn't win another game that year, but you saw Steve Smith was going to eventually be a star. In 2002, in just the second year, he earned starting position as a wide receiver, along with Musa Muhammad. And a year later, they go to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Patriots 2004. The first game of the season against Green Bay, he broke his leg, missed the rest of the year. And just came back in 2005 with a vengeance. He was definitely, to me, the comeback player of the year that season. Caught 103 passes and 12 touchdowns that season. That was his best year ever in the National Football League. And now he's going to be looking to find another team. He's going to be looking to find another team, and I hope he does. I hope he does, because he could still play a little bit. He could still play. And he can also provide veteran leadership to a team like Denver. It seems unlikely that he will go there, but if he wants to compete and wins another Super Bowl and play with Peyton Manning, why not? Why not? I can certainly see that happening. That would be big. That would seriously be big. I could picture that going down. And I think that's something that if you have a chance to make that move, and if he's interested, I would say reach out to him, because they could very well lose Eric Decker. And that would be a big loss for their offense, meaning the two Thomases, Welker, are going to have to step their game up. And there's no status right now on no Sean Marino. So we got to figure out what's going to happen with him. So that's also a big deal. Now, keep in mind, Peyton Manning had to pass his physical in order to even come back and play this year. So it's a little bit of a scary situation. But despite that, look at the moves that the Broncos are making on defense, though. I mean, just look at it. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for what they're trying to do. And I think that they're on the course to getting back to the Super Bowl, because that's a team that's going to be doing some things. Some serious, big-time things. The Chargers were a little bit busy today. Had a couple days making some of the moves that they've made. They signed running back Donald Brown, who was the Colts' leading rusher last year. Their running game looked a mess at times, but Donald Brown provided a little bit of a spark. The contract was a 3-year, $10.5 million, $4 million guaranteed. He only made his 5 starts last year, but he had 537 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns, which led the team, because Trent Richardson wasn't getting it done. And at first, I blasted the Browns for trading Trent Richardson, but I look back and say, oh, maybe they knew something we didn't. And Donald Brown averaged 5.3 yards per carry on 102 yard rushing attempts, which is tied with Cam Newton for the second best mark among NFL players with at least 100 carries. The only person who eclipsed that was Cardinals running back Andre Ellington, who had 5.5 yards. So he also had 27 receptions for 214 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. And this move reunites Brown with Chargers general manager Tom Telesco, who was part of the Colts front office when they drafted Donald Brown with the 27th overall pick in 2009 out of the University of Connecticut. Brown's top rushing season was with the Colts in 2011, when it was the first when Peyton Manning was out for the season and they slipped into mediocrity real quickly. He had 134 carries with 645 yards and 5 touchdowns that season. And now you got Donald Brown with Ryan Matthews and Danny Woodhead. You got a three-headed running back tandem. That's a big pickup for the Chargers. Good insurance and policy, if you ask me. And maybe even more. So big move for them. The Chargers also signed former Steelers tight end David Johnson to a 2-year deal. 6'2", 260 pounds, played in just 5 games last year, making 4 catches for 70 yards before going on injury reserve with a wrist injury. Over 4 seasons with the Steelers, he appeared in 52 games, recording 22 catches for 216 yards and 1 touchdown. He'll provide contributions to Antonio Gates. So this is a big move for the Chargers. Well, we're going to take a quick break real fast. We got another 30 more minutes left of airtime. We're going to be taking calls, so call in 347-327-9586. When we come back, we're going to come up with some more updates and see who else made some more moves. We're going to talk a little basketball. One of the moves that I kind of didn't see coming, but a big-name former coach is coming to the Big Apple. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. And some sad news regarding my favorite player of all time. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Kick back. Go get yourself something. Pay your bills if you got to. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is 8:30. We have 30 more minutes left in tonight's broadcast. And check this out. We got some more breaking news. And this really should not come as a surprise to nobody. It's been official. According to the NFL on ESPN, cornerback Darrelle Revis and the New England Patriots have reached agreement on a one-year, $12 million contract. So, after the Patriots lose their stud cornerback, Aqib Talib, their arch rival, Denver, their next best move was to go out there and get the best cornerback that was available on the free agent market, and that was Darrelle Revis. Now, keep in mind, the history between Darrelle Revis and the Patriots have not necessarily been a good one. Darrelle Revis has gone out and criticized the likes of Randy Moss and Tom Brady and even Bill Belichick at one point. But despite that, Darrelle Revis has been highly respected by the likes of Bill Belichick. This is a big move for the Patriots. You got the cornerback that you wanted, and now you got a guy that's going to come in and help you out right away. The Patriots, they play man-to-man coverage, which is something that fits Darrelle Revis exceptionally well. This is a big move for them. Whether you like the guy or not, you don't even have to be a fan of the guy. But this is a move that, if you're the Patriots, you needed to make this move. You needed to reach out to this guy right away. Because who knows where Darrelle Revis would have ended up if they don't make this move. Now you got that cornerback to fill that void at least for 1 year. And that's a beautiful thing for your organization. Okay? So think about that. And also think about what that means as far as the AFC is concerned. Will we see the Patriots and the Broncos battling it again next year? It's a strong possibility. And we didn't see the Patriots at their full best, really, because of the injuries that they sustained. So how about that? How about that? It's a big move. It's a big move. And like I said, it's been so much that it just already went down. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to take the opportunity to apologize if Rocket missed any other news that broke down, because I gotta say, a lot has gone down, man. A lot has gone down. A whole lot. And it's just continuing. It is continuing. Now, now the best cornerback is off the market, so what do you do? What do you do? Now, just to update some more moves that were made, you know, just to give y'all a quick update based off of a lot that has already transpired. And I'm just going to try and run down some of these names. Okay. The Ravens signed offensive tackle Eugene Monroe to a 5-year, $37.5 million contract. And that's something that the Ravens wanted to do to bolster their offensive line to protect their quarterback and maybe provide better protection in the running game. Talked about the Buccaneers and some of the moves they made. They signed defensive end Michael Johnson to a $8 million contract, and this was a big big move for them, because Lovie Smith loves defensive players. He's a defensive minded coach, so if he has the chance to go after defensive players, that's exactly what he's going to do. They also signed another former Seahawk, Clinton McDonald, who was a 6'2", 297-pound tackle on the defense, who generated a career-high 5.5 sacks last season. They also agreed to terms with tight end Brandon Myers as competition for Tim Wright. So, these are moves. These are moves. Moves are moves. Can't argue it. It is what it is. It is what it is. The Bears signed defensive end Lamar Houston to a 5-year deal after departing with Julius Peppers. They couldn't trade him. They couldn't find any trade value, so they elected to cut him yesterday. And they decided to go after Lamar Houston after falling short in their pursuit of Michael Bennett, who ended up going back to Seattle. Lamar Houston played at a Pro Bowl level for the Raiders last year. And this is a move that the Bears kind of desperately made a little bit. They gave him a 5-year, $35 million contract, $15 million guaranteed, and he is now officially a Chicago Bear. So these are just moves that are just being made constantly, constantly, constantly. I mean, I can't keep up with them. To find out more, and I'm just going to run down a few more. Vontae Davis, cornerback, looks like he's staying foot with the Indianapolis Colts. It's a 4-year, $39 million contract, $30 million guaranteed. We also have some other players that are available. Lamar Woodley is available, who was cut by Pittsburgh. Hakeem Nicks, he's available, former wide receiver of the Giants. Looks like he's not going back to New York. It looks like the Panthers are interested in his services. Despite being beat up the last few years, they could certainly use a guy like him. And why not? If you have a chance to go after the guy like him, then why not? Jermichael Finley, he's available. He's out there. He's slated to visit the Seahawks. I think it would be a good move for the Seahawks to bolster the tight end spot on the roster, because nobody really knew who their tight ends were last year. Antonio Cromartie is available, who's cut by the Jets. Dominic Rogers Cromartie, formerly, as of right now, formerly of the Denver Broncos. He's out there. He's available, but it looks like he might end up going back to Denver. Brandon Spikes, linebacker, who only just played 2 times last year, but he's available. Jared Allen is also a big name, one of the bigger names out there. The Broncos, the Seahawks, and the Bears are the three teams that are the most interested in his services. And according to ESPN, it was reported that if he doesn't find a team, then he's willing to call it quits and throw in the towel. That's interesting. He's been in the league for about 10 years, and makes you wonder. Makes you wonder if he's going to follow through on that. And if no team decides to bring him in. I would see him possibly going to a Denver or a Seattle. Maybe he could go to Chicago because of their failure in terms of trying to find some value for Julius Peppers and not being able to go after and bring in Michael Bennett. Jared Allen could be the next guy on their radar. So that's a big deal, and he's one of the big names that's available out there. Geoff Schwartz, one of the top-rated guards available on the free agent market, has now signed with the Giants. His deal is 4 years, $16.8 million, $6.2 million guaranteed. And that's going to help the Giants offensive line right away. They also brought in Rashad Jennings, former running back of the Raiders. So that's also a big move for them. And it's a big move. It's a big move. It's a big move for the Giants. It's a move that they needed to make, and they have made that move. The Bears also making another move. This time they get a player inside the NFC North on M.D. Jennings, former safety of the Green Bay Packers, on a one-year deal. He spent the previous three years in Green Bay. He started all 16 games last year, recording a career-high 68 tackles, one sack, and a fumble recovered. This is a move that the Bears made. They already parted ways with the likes of Charles Tillman, so he won't be back. So they're trying to bolster up their defense because they've lost some key defensive players. Keep in mind, they don't have Devin Hester no more. They elected to part ways with him, so he's no longer with the team. So this is going to be a – it's already been a different Bears team, but they're going to be an even more different Bears team next year. And even though the Giants have made a few moves, they end up losing one of their players. Linval Joseph, former nose tackle, 6'4", 323 pounds, is now moving on to the Minnesota Vikings and new head coach Mike Zimmer. In his three seasons, I'm reading the information wrong. Joseph started 46 of 48 games for the Giants while recording 55 tackles and three sacks over the last three seasons and helping the team winning a Super Bowl. He was a second-round pick in 2010 out of East Carolina University, and the Giants had made him an offer, but he said it was nowhere near what the Vikings gave him. His deal maximum is $31.5 million. Yeah, maybe the Giants didn't offer him that much, and they couldn't. So the Vikings made this move after moving on from Pat Williams, and it's funny because Pat Williams has moved on now. Doesn't look like he's going to be back in Minnesota, so they decide to make these moves, and it's a big move. This is a big, big move, a real big move for the Minnesota Vikings. So, you know, more power to them. Definitely more power to them. To find out more on these moves, you can check out Yahoo.com, the sports section. You can check out NFL.com. You can check out ESPN.com. There's going to be more information being updated extremely, I can tell you right now. And again, apologies from Rocket on behalf of him if he missed out on anything. Because, like I said, this has been the big deal. A big deal. There's going to be more moves being made before this night is over. Darrelle Revis was the biggest move that was just made within the last 30 minutes. Well, the last 15 minutes, I should say, since we returned from the last break that we just took. So, Darrelle Revis is now a Patriot. We got a lot of big moves. Golden Tate is now with Detroit. Aqib Talib is with Denver. The Broncos also got T.J. Ward. DeMarcus Ware. Just so many big moves. Michael Bennett staying put in Seattle. Just a lot of big moves. The Cleveland Browns getting Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner. San Francisco retaining Anquan Boldin, trading for Jonathan Martin. The Dolphins also made a move themselves. Again, this is something that this is also something that they went out and made. They went out and acquired Brandon Albert, formerly the Kansas City Chiefs, a former offensive lineman, the left tackle, and this is going to be a big loss for the Chiefs. The deal is 5 years, $47 million. Looks like it's $25 million guaranteed. Big blow, big loss by the Kansas City Chiefs, who haven't really done much since the free agency period has began. last year they were making moves. They were making some serious moves. This is a big move for the Dolphins. They also got Louis Delmas, formerly of the Lions. There's just so many moves that are being made right now, and more will be made, like I said, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of this week, the weekend. You can find out more on Yahoo.com, on the NFL, on NFL.com. You can also find more on ESPN.com. You can check your local listings, your local stations, your local sports stations. You can check out the NFL Network if you have access to a television set near you, if you have cable or satellite. You can check out the NFL Network. You can check out ESPN. More moves are being made. More is being updated. And I promise you, there's going to be more moves being made before this night is over. You can rest assured on that. Moving on to the NBA real quickly. We didn't exactly know what was going to go down with this. I'm kind of taken back by surprise by this a little bit. According to Yahoo.com, Phil Jackson, he's formerly a player of the New York Knicks. People forget that he once was a player. People forget. They just look at Phil Jackson as a head coach. But Phil Jackson is coming over to the New York Knicks, which is pretty interesting. Now, this is just what's being put out there right now. He's a former player by the Knicks. He was drafted by the Knicks in 1967. He was the second pick, second-round pick, 17th pick overall. Drafted in 1967 out of North Dakota University. Played there from 1967 to 1980. Also spent some time with the formerly New Jersey Nets. Won two championships with the Knicks. And it looks like he's going to come back this time in the front office. Now, it had been reported that Phil Jackson is going to be with the organization, quite possibly a team president, a GM. Well, it looks like it's going to be the team president at the Knicks, meaning he's going to have some control. He's going to be out there making some moves to try and get guys to come in. I think one of the top moves will be trying to get Carmelo Anthony to stay in New York. Carmelo Anthony has gone out publicly and said that he is looking forward to testing the free agent market next year. There are talks that he could move on and go to a team like the Lakers, most recently the Chicago Bulls. This is big news. It's kind of a shock. It's a shockwave to a lot of people because of just the mediocrity that the Knicks are in right now. But, hey, you know, maybe they know something that we don't know. And they had a chance to bring in Phil Jackson as a head coach. People don't remember this, but they had a chance to bring in Phil Jackson as a head coach years ago before Mike Woodson, after the departure of Isaiah Thomas, even Larry Brown when he wasn't getting it done, and that didn't happen. So now it just seems like he's going to come here and be part of the front office and help to run the front office. So good luck to him, because he's going to need it, seriously. Winning championships with the Lakers as a head coach and the Bulls, he's got his work cut out for him with this organization, considering how much of a disarray that they're in. Speaking of the Lakers, like I said before the break, it's kind of sad to hear about this, but Kobe Bryant has officially been ruled out for the rest of the regular season. With that torn Achilles that he suffered at the end of the regular season last year and re-aggravating that injury after he played in just six games this year. Yeah, it's sad, man. It's sad because Kobe Bryant is a workhorse, folks. Say what you want about him. Say what you want about the Lakers, but Kobe Bryant is a workhorse. He's as tough as they come. He's a warrior to the end. And he wants to be out there playing. But what could Kobe do for the Lakers at this stage? They're not going to be in the playoffs. They're 20 games under 500. And he's starting to come of age a little bit. So I would say, hey, come back next year. Come back strong, bro. come back with a vengeance and let people know, hey, you are still here and that you're going to be here for a while. Now, just think about this. Let's say the Lakers manage to land Carmelo Anthony as a free agent and Kobe Bryant comes back 100% healthy from this injury and from reconstructive surgery. You're talking possibly a 1-2 punch, literally. And I think Kobe Bryant will probably feel comfortable taking a back seat and letting Carmelo do more of the scoring. Whatever it takes to get the organization to win and back to respectability, I think Kobe will be comfortable with that. So it's unfortunate. This Lakers team has just been beat up all year. Steve Nash has been beat up in and out of the lineup. Paul Gasol, same thing. Jordan Hill, Nick Young, both these guys have been beat up. Jordy Meeks in and out of the lineup. Jordan Farmar, it's been a mess. It's been a mess, unfortunately. And, you know, what can you do? What can you do? What can you do? It's been kind of a sad situation, but, you know, you win some and you lose some, and that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I would have to say that Kobe Bryant is still going to go out, you know, winning the championship rings he's won, being regardedly as the best player of this generation within the last 15 years since Michael's departure. And I am going to miss him when he eventually does hang him out. I miss watching him now. I have a hard time watching the Lakers these days, man. But when I get a chance to watch him, I support them, win or lose. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do after this season's over. What type of moves are they going to make? And how far this team is willing to go to get back to respectability? Let's just take that into consideration. So good luck to the Lakers organization the rest of the way. Good luck to all the NFL teams making all these moves so far. And good luck to your teams that are making these moves, because it's a big deal. It's an exciting time. A lot has transpired these last 24 to 48 hours, and more is going to transpire these next 24 to 48 hours and beyond. You can rest assured on that. As we come to the end of the Rocket Sports Breakdown, Rocket would just like to take this opportunity to say thank you guys for tuning in tonight. It means a whole lot. It feels good to be back on air 2 hours once again on Blog Talk Radio, the original network that this show has sprouted from. It's great to be back. It's great to be back. We're going to be back next Wednesday night with a lot of interesting things to talk about. There'll be more NFL news, a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. You got the MLB season right around the corner. Spring training is in session right now. The NHL playoffs is going to be starting pretty soon. You got March Madness. So there will be a whole lot to talk about, I promise you. And this is an exciting time, one of the more exciting times of the year in sports. So we'll provide more insight next week. This was great to be back. Thank you all for tuning in. And next Wednesday, we'll be back, same time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. every Wednesday night. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. I want to send a special shout-out to my future co-host, Wendy Bellamy, who is not here with us tonight, but we're expected to have her next week. So, Wendy, thank you for your contributions. Thank you for doing the great things that you're doing, and you're doing a ton of phenomenal things out there. So I would say keep up the great work. I got to send a special shout-out to all my fans, everybody, all of y'all. Keep doing what you think. My homeboy, DJ Sincere, looking forward to networking with you in upcoming venues. To my homeboy, Mo. To my homegirl, Creative. You know who you are. Yes, I'm talking about you. Keep up the excellence, sweetie. And all of y'all out there that are supporting Rocket, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for everything. And we will see you guys next week. In the meantime, Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. We'll be right back.